The women of Bethany Baptist Church are hosting the Priscilla Shirer simulcast at Bethany on April 8th from 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Plan to join us for a full day of praise, prayer, and worship with Priscilla Shirer, well-known speaker, teacher, and star of the life-changing movie War Room. There is an early bird registration discount until February 12th. Registration includes lunch, snacks, and beverages. For more information, call 412-242-3255. To register online, go to bethanybaptist-pgh.org. Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude his message, How to Operate in the Fullness of the Holy Spirit, from our series, Will the Real Holy Spirit Please Stand Up? So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of How to Operate in the Fullness of the Holy Spirit.
There's been a hindrance, and you have to remove the hindrance so the Spirit can flow freely again through your life. The Spirit is not going to flow through somebody that's walking around in debauchery, in sin, in transgression. Spirit is just not going to flow through you like that. What the Spirit is going to be doing, the Spirit is going to stop and hold up, and the Spirit is going to start pressing you in one area. And whatever that area is, the Spirit is just going to be pressing you in that. You know that you did this, you shouldn't have did it, and the Spirit is going to be convicting you, right? And until you get that thing straight, the Holy Spirit is going to be grieved in dealing with that one thing. Whenever you get it straight, guess what? Then the Spirit begins to flow freely again, right? Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. If you want to walk in the fullness of the Spirit, don't grieve the Spirit. How do you grieve the Spirit? You grieve the Spirit by doing something that you shouldn't do. And you know what it is. I mean, I don't have to sit up here and list the whole litany of sins on the screen. You know what you do is wrong. And just think about it. Whenever you do it, the Spirit is grieved. And the Spirit is not going to be ungrieved until you deal with that situation. The third thing is you don't want to quench the Spirit. You don't want to quench the Spirit. Now, watch this, because you need to understand this. If grieving the Spirit is doing something that we shouldn't do, then quenching the Spirit is not doing something, yeah, that's right, that we should do. The Holy Spirit told you to do something, and you didn't do it, and you quenched the Spirit. So there goes that flow. You've blocked that flow of the Holy Spirit in your life once again. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:19. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. And we see in this passage that there were some people in the church at Thessalonica who were prophesying. And there were others who were trying to get them to be quiet. And so Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5 in verse 19, and look what he says. He says, don't quench the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't try to put the Spirit out. That word quench means to suppress. That means the Holy Spirit is telling you something and you quench it. You try to put it out. What has the Holy Spirit told you that you didn't do? You know what that is? That's quenching the Spirit. That's trying to suppress the Spirit. When I was in seminary, I just graduated from seminary. I was helping pastor a church way out in the country in Virginia. And we would have to drive like an hour to get there. And they had a Sunday night service. And so we would stay there all day long. And generally what we would do is go to one of the family members' house and eat. And so we went to this one house. And I think at the time it was just Nicole and Daniel. And they were there. And we were sitting there and the people were in the other room. And I mean, you know, you could tell that they were just so excited to have me and my family over there to feed us. I mean, they were all excited about that. So they were in another room getting the food ready. And Daniel, he looked up on the wall, and there was a roach going up the wall. And Daniel said, "Dad, look, a bee, a bee." I said, "Shh, shh, shh, be quiet, man, be quiet." What was I trying to do? I was trying to suppress his voice, right? I was trying to get him to be quiet because I didn't want the people to hear him say that, right? And so when we don't do what the Holy Spirit says, what are we doing? Shh, 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 be quiet. Don't talk to me. I don't want to hear what you got to say. I want to do things my way. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me how to do it. When we suppress the Holy Spirit. How to operate? How do we operate in the fullness of the Spirit? You got to walk in the Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. And then finally, I know this is going to be controversial, so I'm not going to get into the controversial part of it today. But let me just hit it from a scholarly standpoint. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And it says here in verse 18, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, "And be not drunk with wine, in which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." This verse is loaded. This verse is loaded. So let me just unpack a little bit of it today. Be Spirit-filled. Be Spirit-filled. So notice the tension that we have here. What is the tension that we have? Being drunk with wine and being filled with the Spirit. Why does Paul use that analogy to cause this tension? Because there's some similarities between being drunk and being controlled. Being drunk with wine and being controlled with the Spirit. And the two things that I put down here are saturation and domination. Saturation and domination. First of all, saturation. Whenever somebody is drunk with wine. No, he didn't say he had a drink, but he said drunk. Be not drunk. Whenever somebody is drunk, then guess what? They are saturated. Even to the point, now I'm not trying to offend anybody, and you know, don't think wrong of your neighbor next to you, right? But when somebody has been drunk the night before and they come around you the next day, boy, that stuff is just oozing out of their pores, right? Man, it's oozing out of your pores. So, you know, somebody's sitting beside you and they're oozing, you know where they were yesterday. Why? Because they were saturated. That's some serious stuff, right? Just think about that. Just think about that for 1 second. Think about the fact that you got drunk, and now this is coming out of every pore in your body. And God says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. What should our life be? The Spirit just oozing out of us. That when we are lining up with God, when we are in tune with God, guess what's just coming out of us? The Spirit of God should just be oozing out of us. I mean, it should just be coming out. And people just look at you, and like they did the disciples, and it said, man, look at these guys preaching the word. There's something different about them. These are just men from Galilee. But you know what? We could tell that they had been with Jesus. Why? Why was that? Because it was oozing out of them. It was oozing out of them. It was coming out of them. The word was coming out of them. Relationship with God was coming out of them. Relationship with Christ was coming out of them. It was oozing out of them. And if we're going to be controlled and filled by the Spirit, that we have to be saturated. And how do we get saturated? Again, in the Word, prayer. Now, I'm not trying to get us to be monks, all right? I'm not trying to get you to be a monk. I know in this world you can't be a monk, but you can be a godly person. And you can let the Spirit of God just live through you, and that people see the Spirit of God in you. You know, sometimes I've shared this before. I get a little nervous when some of my old buddies from high school come and visit on a Sunday morning. That's kind of why we stopped letting people say anything. No. I remember we were across the street, and my aunt and a couple of my cousins came, and we let them get up and talk. And then my brother, he was up in the pulpit with me that day, and I was there, and my aunt got up, and she said, it's good to be here today. I'm glad to be here. And there go my two nephews, Funnel and Bunny. I was like, come on, man. Come on, you let the cat out of the bag, right? But, you know, people knew you. People knew me. When? Now, you know, some people have a hard time making that transition. You know, when I was in college, I was a rascal, man. I remember one night, after doing something I shouldn't have been doing, I went to try to get some snacks out of the machine. And and I grabbed the machine, and I started shaking it and kicking it, trying to get something out. And the guy that was the filled the machine, he came, and he saw me. And I guess he said, I'm not going to mess with this dude, man. And so he didn't say anything. So I got saved, right? I got saved, and I started growing in the Lord. I mean, I started growing, and, man, I was in Bible study Sunday morning, church, Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I was there on Thursday night for soul winning. Man, the Lord was just working in me, man, and I just started growing. And then I stayed in this church for about 3 or 4 years. And then the Lord called me and Angie away. And before we left, they threw a big party for us, a going away party. I remember they had a money tree. They put a blindfold on me, and everybody just came up and started putting money on me. I said, oh, I like them trees. But one guy came up to me. He was an older gentleman. And he said, you remember that night that you was up there in that student union and you was kicking that machine? He said, I saw you that night. He said, when you came to this church, I had my eye on you because I really didn't think that you had a transformed heart. He said, but you know, now I can honestly say that God has got a hold of your life and God is working in you. And so that's what I'm saying, saints, is that the Spirit should just be oozing out of you. What did he see? He didn't see Bill Glaze, because what did Bill Glaze do? He jacked up candy machines, right? That's what Bill Glaze did. But he saw the Spirit of Christ oozing out of me. And that's when we are not drunk with wine, but we are filled with the Spirit. That's what God is looking for. And then secondly, look, it's dominated. You're dominated by the Spirit. That a person that is drunk is controlled, is influenced by that alcohol. And he said that if you are filled with the Spirit, not only should you be saturated, but you should be dominated. That the Holy Spirit should guide your life. The Holy Spirit should influence your life. And you know, a lot of people, when they get drunk, you know, they try to do crazy things, and they try to do feats, heroic feats, things that they would never even try to do when they were sober. Never even try to do them. But because they got this alcohol in them, it done transformed them to a mild-mannered person, to a drunk Superman, you know, and now they think they can do anything, right? Because they're under the influence of alcohol. Well, God said, be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Let the Spirit work in your life. Let the Spirit work through you and enable you to do things that you never thought that you could do. So now, as we conclude this message today on how to operate in the fullness of the Spirit, I want to answer two questions. I'm going to answer two questions. The first question is, how can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? How can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? All right. First of all, let me correct. The word filled is a good word, but the concept is not indicative of what is being said. When you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you got all of the Holy Spirit that you are ever going to get. You are not going to get any more Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came in your life, you got all the Spirit. He didn't come and stick his foot in your life. He didn't come and stick his leg in your life. He didn't put his arm in your life. That when you got saved, you got all the Holy Spirit. When a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live in him. Romans 8, Ephesians 1, Galatians 3. This is called, and we're going to talk about this in a future message, the indwelling of the Spirit. This is when the Spirit comes and lives in you. At this point, that person gets all of the Holy Spirit they are ever going to get. Even though the believer, watch this now, don't miss this. Even though the believer will or cannot get any more of the Holy Spirit from the time they receive Christ. Yeah. The Holy Spirit can't get more of you. The Holy Spirit can't get more of you. So when a person yields to the Holy Spirit by walking in the Spirit, not grieving the Spirit, or quenching the Spirit, that means the Spirit will get more of you, and you will be what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. D.L. Moody was preaching one day, and somebody said, he's uneducated, he's inexperienced, and they went on, and they said, who does he think he is anyway? Does he have a monopoly? Does he think he has a monopoly on the Holy Spirit? And whoever they were talking to responded back, no, but the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on him. See, the more you yield, the more the Holy Spirit is able to get a hold of your life. And at that point, you experience, because the Spirit is already in you to the full. But what's keeping the Spirit from operating in the fullness? You and your flesh. But as you live victoriously in this life, you are filled with the Spirit. Again, what does it mean to be filled by the Spirit? Simply, it means to be controlled by him. That is, you know, there's nothing mystical about it, nothing magical about it, nothing out in outer space. To be filled with the Spirit. Now, go back to Ephesians. Are we talking from Ephesians 5:18 now? Go back to Ephesians 5:18. To be filled with the Spirit is to be controlled by the Spirit. Plain and simple. That's what it means. So if you want to be filled with the Spirit, you need to let the Spirit control you. And the second thing, now I know I may get some calls, letters, cards, oppositions, email, but if you do, it's Mike Cephas at Verizon. No, just kidding. That's my email address, right? All right, second question. What is the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit? Now, I'm talking from Ephesians. Now, we can go to other places, but I'm talking about when Paul said here in Ephesians 5, what is the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit? All right? And he gave three, well, somebody gave three S's, and I'm going to use these this morning. All right? So, again, when you do the Bible, you got to do what? Context. What is he saying immediately? Okay, we don't want to jump somewhere else, but anytime you do good Bible exegesis, you always want to see what he says immediately. And then after that, you can go to other passages. But what is he saying immediately? Okay, he says in verse 18, be not drunk with wine in which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So what is the first thing? The first thing is what? Singing. Now, if you fill with the Spirit, you're going to be singing. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Amen. Amen. When you're controlled by the Spirit, when the Spirit is filling your life, you got a song in your heart. In my heart's of melody. Singing, going with me, sweet and loud. He keeps me singing as I go along my way. I'm filled with the Spirit. I'm under control of the Spirit. I'm walking with the Spirit. I'm not quenching the spirit. I'm not grieving the spirit. And I got a song in my heart. I'm singing the songs of Zion. I'm singing the melodies of heaven. Like the song said, melodies from heaven rain down on me. Why? Because I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. So when you're filled with the Spirit, you're singing. You know, when the devil wants to take your song. The devil wants to take your song. Paul and Silas in jail at midnight had been beaten, had been beat down, had been whipped, had been abused. And at midnight, they sang. Paul's in one corner. Rats beside him, healing up his wounds. And Paul said, this is the day. Barnabas, he's all the way on the other side, dealing with his issues that the Lord has made. Then they antiphonally, right, going back and forth. And the song was so powerful that Elvis Presley said there was some jailhouse rocking going on. That the song was so powerful that they shook the foundation of the prison and all the prisoners were loose. Why? Because these men were filled with the Holy Spirit. And because they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were controlled by the Holy Spirit. And what did they do? They sang. They sang. The second thing that it means, singing, saying, in verse 20, he says what? Giving thanks. What do you give thanks? You give thanks with your tongue. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you're filled with the Spirit, you're giving thanks. That means when stuff goes on in my life that's just crazy, when madness is going crazy, when people are crazy all around me, I'm thanking God. That's how you know your spirit filled. In the midst of chaos in your life, that you still thank God. You might not be happy about your circumstances. It's like Jerome preached a couple of weeks ago on that armor and that fighting faith, that soldier's faith, right? And he went to James and talked about the fact that we might not be happy about our circumstances, but we can still give thanks. We can still be joyful in the midst of our. Because what does that show? That shows that the Holy Spirit has control of your life, that whenever you are going through a situation, I don't need some ethereal experience. All I need to do is look at my life, and I see the Spirit is in control. If I'm singing, there's joy in my heart. If I'm saying, if I'm giving thanks. Now see, the first two were dealing with lip service. The third one, now this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where the rubber meets the road, because the third one is surrender. Surrender. Look at verse 21, or submitting. He says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. See, I can sing and I can say, but here goes the litmus test, right? Am I submitting? Am I submitting to God? Am I submitting to His word? Am I submitting to those around me? See, this is how you know that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, we're going to talk about some other things down the road, like the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and all that. We're going to talk about that. But for right now, to be filled with the Spirit means these three things. That if these three things are true in your life, and this covers a whole lot, if these three things are true in your life, then you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You are filled with the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of There's a Sweet Spirit in This Place from our series, Will the Real Holy Spirit Please Stand Up? If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, How to Operate in the Fullness of the Holy Spirit, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request How to Operate in the Fullness of the Holy Spirit, or call 877-831-5060. That's anchoredinjesus.org, or call us at 877-831-5060 and request How to Operate in the Fullness of the Holy Spirit. When you visit our website, you can also request the entire series, Will the Real Holy Spirit Please Stand Up? We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Keep in mind that we remain on the air through your prayers and gifts. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.